WRNN FM 99.5 presents Heather Hansen O'Neill on the humanity of sales, where purpose meets profit. Made possible by Tammy Hardy, certified financial planner and founder of Thrive Private Wealth Strategies. This is where we shine a light on local business leaders who are actively helping our community and learn about the correlation between doing good and profitability. And now, Heather Hansen O'Neill.
Hello and welcome to the Humanity of Sales, where purpose meets profit. I am your host, Heather Hansen O'Neill, and we have not one, but two incredible guests for you today. First, I want to introduce you to the amazing Gina Davis. Gina's been working in the IT industry for over 40 years. She moved from New York to South Carolina with her husband, Jeff, and their two children. And during her free time, I don't know how she has any, she's a very busy lady. During her free time, she volunteers at Theater of the Republic in Conway as a volunteer coordinator, as well as teaches line dancing and coordinates annual line dance flash mobs in the Myrtle Beach area. So now I'm going to give you my two cents about Gina. If you think that I have a lot of energy, you're going to think I'm positively sleepy after meeting this one. Gina is a beacon of light, tons of energy, and so much positivity. Everyone who meets her is instantly attracted to that energy, and it draws you in. Now, I met Gina because we were seeking some line dancing in this area when we moved here almost 4 years ago. And we popped into Gina's Thursday dancing at the Brick House and haven't looked back because she's incredible. Gina, welcome. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I know you
are. So exciting.
So, I mean, I have so many questions for you, so many different ways that we can go. But first, I'd like to just ask you how you got involved in dancing. I know how I came to it with you, but let's go back a little bit. How'd you get involved?
Well, I've been dancing, not line dancing, since I was a kid. My mother and father danced. I would go out dancing with them and everything. When I moved to South Carolina, my kids were going to high school or whatever. And so now I had to find things, even though I worked, you know, full time, things that would occupy my time, meet friends and things like that. I went with a friend to a rec center for yoga class. And I was like, okay, I never tried yoga. I'm going to try it. The next class was a line dance class. And all these people were coming in and all peppy and happy. And there was no teacher. They were just dancing. So I was like, oh, let's stay and try this. I did. And I haven't looked back since. So there are marvelous teachers throughout this community. And I think I've danced with every one of them. So that's how I get started. I just loved it and just continued to pursue it. And then one day an opportunity came to be that I was subbing for somebody, and now I'm a teacher. So I love it. I love watching people learn and grow. And that's the happiest thing that I get out of it.
Oh, you know, you're so good at it. You're so good at it. Gina can spot somebody who's wanting to figure out the step from a mile across the room, and she'll come and she'll help you work through the steps and figure it out so that everybody is included. That inclusivity and that feeling of being cared for is something that resonates in the humanity of sales philosophy and what we do here. And, you know, energy is a big part of it as well. How can we incorporate the things that we love in our lives to infuse more energy in, more connection, and that family atmosphere? So I see when you talk about, you know, the people that you meet there and what you do specifically to cultivate it, I think family. Does that resonate for you?
Absolutely. And we actually call ourselves a line dance family. And the other day we actually welcomed some new people because I started a beginner's class as well. And this one lady, I won't say her name, but she came and she's like, oh, I want to try it. I'm a little, you know, timid. I'm a little afraid to do it. And I welcomed her. And this other woman that dances with us, Gail, she actually brings flowers every week and she gives it to somebody who she feels needs a little extra cheering or congratulations or something. So she gave the flowers to this one lady who was just joining us and she just started crying. She was like, I've never been welcomed so much. So it really is a family and people help each other out, which is, I think, the most awesome thing, that the beginners come and the people who are experienced, they're all helping so that everybody has the same goal to dance together and to have fun.
Mm, That's beautiful. And I know Gail, she's also wonderful. And her flowers, oh, her
Yes.
garden is incredible. I've been the recipient of those flowers too. And she's amazing as well. And it's that warmth that draws
Yes.
you in that we want to provide for our people, for our customers, for our communities. And that's what this is all about. Speaking of communities, I would love for you to share how you help your local community. And I suspect that's going to bring us to introduce our second guest as well. So share a little bit about how you help the local community.
Sure. So, if you do something that you're passionate about, like line dancing, right? I've met so many different people. So there's networking. I've met doctors, I've met nurses, I've met people who run 501(c)s, right? To help people in the community. Tabby's one of them. I actually met her first in the Theater of the Republic. I was backstage. She was a actor, and we haven't, we've been in communication, but not so much. And then recently she started line dancing, and we were like, well, let's do something for her organization, which is Fostering Hope. And we decided to do a drive to collect toys and clothes and things that the people need. And we were able to help and participate. We do that with the veterans. We do that with the Operation Christmas Child, various things, food pantries that are around here. Our family, our dance family, is so loving and generous. And when you feel that love, it just grows. One time we were asked to collect some Barbies. We collected over 600 Barbies just from our dance community. So the love is there, the community and that family, that's why they do it, right? To help each other out, which is awesome.
That is awesome. And I feel it as well. Like the most generous people ever. And that generosity, that's like it's like a vibration, isn't it? It feels
Yes.
like when we're grateful and we're generous, it just vibrates and it expands. And that's what we love to talk about here. And I actually feel it right now. I got a little goosebumps on my arms. So let's bring on and learn a little bit more about one of those connections that you made through this generosity, and that is Tabby Shelton. Tabby grew up in Palm Beach County, Florida, and moved to South Carolina. Carolina in 1994, and she immediately fell in love with the area and decided to make Conway home. Now, after the adoption of her twin sons in 2002, Tabby saw a need to create an organization to assist the foster children and families in our local community. And after hearing a sermon in July of 2004, she decided to start Fostering Hope. I can't wait to hear more about Fostering Hope, but I have to share with you the expansion that we were talking about. The center opened in January of 2005 with the hopes of serving 75 children annually by providing like emergency clothing and other necessities. Over the years, Fostering Hope has grown and now serves over 250 children monthly in this 5-county area. And the center not only assists children in foster care, but also children who have lost homes to fire or flood, medically fragile children, and others in crisis situations. But I want to bring on the founder right now to learn a little bit more about it. Welcome, Tabby. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully and so glad to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. Now, could you give us a little bit more background on why you started? I know it came from your own process, but why did you start Fostering Hope and what was the journey like for you?
Well, when we actually were, our twins were moving into the house. I came from a different upbringing than these children did. And when they showed up, they literally got out of their vehicle with the caseworkers and they drug garbage bags of stuff up my driveway. And those were things that I always thought were, the Lifetime movies. Never really thought that that's actually how children, that were in this situation actually had to live. And when we got into the house and started opening up the bags, most of the things in those bags were things that we would not keep. But it took me 3 weeks just to get the garbage bags out of the house because they were so convinced that they were going to leave right away. They didn't realize that this was going to be a forever, forever placement. And so that was just an eye-awakening moment for me that, these poor kids, they're grabbing their stuff and it's in a garbage bag. And, that's kind of how they were thought about. After
You're
a few
making me tear. You're
touching
making
all
me
of us.
tear.
And Gina, she knows the boys too. So
Yes.
we're all actually volunteered over at the Theater of the Republic as well.
Now, how old are your boys now?
They're 27.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's fabulous. Okay, so you came to this realization when you adopted your twins, but then there was like a second level to it that you decided to start Fostering Hope through a sermon.
Yes. Actually, I was listening to the sermon, and throughout the entire sermon, I just kept hearing this thing saying, you want to, I have somebody who we want to do something, and but, you just have to take the initiative and you have to do it. And I kept saying, well, they're not talking to me. Because I always had this in my head that I eventually wanted to start something. But when I had my life set up properly. You know, so, you know, when the Mercedes was in the driveway, when I had some money in the bank, when I was doing my trips and everything else. And, but during the sermon, I just kept hearing that you're supposed to do this. And I just kept pushing it away. And, but the next morning I went to work and I found myself at my computer and I started typing. And the next thing I knew, I had a resignation letter in hand and turned it in. And then after that, I called my husband and said,
after that, you called your husband,
quit my job. And luckily he was very supportive and he understood because we had discussed that in the future we would like to do that, but we had no idea that that would be happening this quickly. And it just kind of just blossomed from there. So that was in July of 2004. And I had no idea how to do any of it. I just basically said, you know, please help me. And God, you want me to do this? You got to lead the way because I have no clue what I'm doing. And by January we had a building and we served our first child.
That's amazing. That's so fast, Abby. And you know, that willing heart and the ability to, you know, I feel like we think that we have to be ready for all of the most important things in our lives. And, you know, between you and I've never really been ready for any of the important things in my life. Sometimes we just have to go and do and take action and then we become ready.
I'm learning that if you wait until you're ready, you'll never do it.
Exactly.
If you keep trying to say, well, when this happens, then I will. What if that never happens? You know, you've got to just jump in and say, here I am. Just try it. The worst we can do is fail. And guess what? That's just learning experiences and go from there.
Exactly.
I haven't done everything right getting this started. I'll tell you that. And it's grown, probably outgrown what I ever imagined.
I took the tour there the other day, right? I was amazed at how much stuff and how organized they are and how many, and she was preparing for Christmas and she had all the Christmas bags. She is an amazing person and the heart of gold.
You're so sweet.
Let's talk about, because we're just on the heels of Christmas time. Before we go to our break, we're going to have to stop to go to our break for just a moment. But before we do, let's talk about, you do something special for the kids specifically at the holidays, right? Could you share a little bit about that?
We do a Christmas gift drive for the children in the community. We actually do the five counties. Mm-hmm. And this year, so we have angel trees just like other groups do all throughout the community. And we collect items and pack the bags and bring them out. And this year we did 880 children in the area. And they get a bag of toys and all kinds of items, depending on what their age group is. And, you know, it's harder to do teenagers, I will say that. But I mean, it's quite amazing. This is our, I think, 19th year of doing the Christmas. And so, but I could not do it without the support of our community here is incredible. And the people that I have volunteering here, I have some that have been here for 20 years with me. And so it's just, and I mean, it's family here too. These are, you know, family members and our community is amazing for these children.
And that Angel of Hope Christmas gift drive was, Gina, what you and the dance community supported, right?
Yes. And actually out of that, Tabby's gotten to, several people have met Tabby as well and are interested in volunteering in our organization. Mm-hmm. So the networking there is fabulous. The love and support that we were able to give was fabulous. And we reached out to where people worked, right? People were collecting things where they worked, their friends, their developments were bringing in things. So it's really a fabulous connection that we've got.
And that's the ripple effect that we often talk about right here on the Humanity of Sales, is that if you just do that one thing, and that one thing doesn't necessarily have to be as big and impactful as what Tabby's doing for those children. It could be smiling and cheering somebody up who's just having a really rough day. But that ripple effect is incredibly powerful. Before we go to since we're talking about Christmas real quick, you also hold events for the children, don't you, at different times of the year?
We've done a lot. COVID changed a lot for us.
Okay.
Those types of things. We still do some events for them, but most of the things that, because we've grown so much exponentially as far as serving the children, we haven't had much time to do like the outreach. But after COVID, things just kind of changed. Mm-hmm. That's what life is about, isn't it? It's just change.
And being able to adapt.
Yes.
And so we're going to go to a very brief break right now. And when we return, we're going to continue talking with Gina Davis and Tabby Shelton. And you're going to love some of the stories that they're going to share with you. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Hello, my name is Tammy Hardy, and I'm a certified financial planner and founder of Thrive Private Wealth Strategies. I'm focused on helping clients build confidence and achieve their financial and life goals. I provide financial planning, investment management, tax planning, and estate strategies. And I'm also passionate about helping women build their financial confidence. Reach out to me, Tammy Hardy, today at thrivepws.com. That's thrivepws.com. Thank you.
Are you ready to party? Join us on January 14th at 5 p.m. for the virtual book launch party for Heather's newest book, Finding Humanity, The Evolution of Sales. You'll meet interesting people, hear heartwarming stories, and have a chance to win some great giveaways. To register, go to bit.ly/humanitylaunch. That's bit.ly/humanitylaunch. We'll see you at the party.
Welcome back to the Humanity of Sales, where purpose meets profit. I'm Heather Hansen O'Neill. I'm your host. We have two amazing guests that we're speaking with here today. We've got Gina Davis, who is in the IT industry, but also does a tremendous amount with her line dancing. And we've been talking specifically about that line dance community. And so I want to speak to you first, Gina, before we bring Tabby back on. And I know that we were talking about the different ways that you help the local community, but also, you know, how does line dancing help support local businesses?
Well, I think, believe it or not, it's a big thing, right? So wherever we go line dancing, you're supporting the restaurants that are local, people are eating, your local businesses. We have special dance events or workshops that come to Myrtle Beach. So there are hotels, there's the restaurants, there's all the tourist attractions. So not only are they dancing, right, they're also supporting our local business and our economy in the, you know, in the area, which is fascinating too. Just to have everybody together in one place, even like when I do my flash mobs, right, we're supporting a place that we'll now go and eat at, right, and support them. People are aware of that location or things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't let you slide without having you say a few words about these incredible flash mobs that you do. Gina's amazing. Gina, talk a little bit about the flash mobs and maybe even mention that cool documentary that Jeff did, okay?
Sure. So there's something called an international flash mob, where this group of people who are in Germany actually pick a dance, and they ask all the dancers around the world to dance it on a certain day, right? And share their video of the folks dancing. I first learned about it probably like 4 years ago. I think I've been doing this. And it was so much fun that we actually do it twice a year. We do a Friendsgiving around Thanksgiving. And we actually have people, not only in our area, but the surrounding area. We had a group come from New York this time. We have North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida. People come from all over to come join our flash mob, which is just so much fun. And with that, this last flash mob, they picked an easy dance. And it was so easy. My husband said, who's a videographer, he said, I could even teach that dance. So he taught a dance and we did that flash mob. And he was like, this is an amazing experience. He actually did a documentary on the preparation for us to do this flash mob, how we work with various teachers throughout our local area, as well as other states, and that we come together with the communications and working with our local business. We do it at Broadway at the Beach here in Myrtle Beach at the Hangout. We've done it at the Hard Rock. We've done it at the Myrtle Beach State Park. So various areas, right, that we've done it. So it's a tremendous effort and a lot of coordination, but the energy, like you said, is amazing. And the networking that we do with the different people, we've learned different groups do different things. And now our group is going to Wilmington and Raleigh and Florida, you know, to visit and do dancing with them. So again, I call them our extended family, because not only do we have our family local, we go and visit everybody in different places. So
yeah,
a lot of energy.
It's incredible, and it's so much fun to do. I've done a couple of these flash mobs with Gina and the gang and the whole gang, and it is so energizing and fun and fun. And she's right.
I think that's when I met you. We were preparing for a flash mob.
Yeah.
And a little tidbit for everybody, Heather can dance. She can move and she can jump.
It's one of my joys. I love to dance, just like you love to dance. It definitely energizes me. So much fun. So I encourage anyone who needs a little bit of lift in their life to come dance.
That's right.
Yeah. And now let's come back to Tabby Shelton, who's the founder of Fostering Hope. Tabby, I know you've been starting to do some dancing as well. Before I ask you a little bit more about the services from Fostering Hope, what do you love best about dancing?
That Gina puts up with my two left feet.
You don't have two left feet. I saw you moving.
She moves now. She got rid of the left feet and now she's got both and she's grooving.
Absolutely wonderful. I've only been out there for about 2.5, 3 months and just getting out there and meeting new people and going out a few nights a week and moving. I mean, that's been just so much fun. I feel just more energy already. So it's just been a great way to just get out and see people and networking. And what it's, they're such an incredible group and just always feel welcome. I mean, right away it was, yeah, you have never done this before, but come on out. We're going somewhere else. And just to feel included. And it was at a time where I really needed it. So it's just been wonderful. So now I look forward to it being every week. So
now I'm going to get to see you more too when we're doing this together. That's awesome. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of the services that you provide through Fostering Hope for the children in the area.
Well, basically when the children come into foster care or they're coming in from a crisis situation, a lot of the times they come with absolutely nothing except for the clothes on their back. And it's really difficult. I mean, imagine being, what I usually tell people is if you imagine somebody walks up to you right now and says, right, you are, it's not safe for you to go back to your house today. Mm-hmm. What you have with you right now is all you have. And we're going to take you somewhere else. And in most, in a lot of the cases, we're going to place you with a family that you don't know with different ways of doing things. And then we're going to probably put you in a new school. We're going to put you here. You may have to go see doctors or you may have to go see some other things. Now imagine being 6 years old or 7 years old and going through that experience. And not even having an animal with you or having the clothes that you need the next day, school supplies. So here you are, the next day you go to school and you have to ask somebody for a pencil or you have to ask somebody for paper. And it's not, that doesn't sound like a big deal, except for a child who has been through so much already. And if they're coming in the middle of the school year and they just, you know, they're already upset. Imagine what that would feel like, that you all of a sudden now also don't have the things that you really need. Or, and I'm not a clothing person, honestly, I'm really not. But going into a situation where you don't look like the other kids, where what they're wearing or what, you know, that you don't have, you have shoes on your feet that don't fit right or that they're way past their time. So the idea was, is basically when the children come in and the children get items, they get things that they can be happy to wear to school or wear out into the community. They get new socks, new shoes. They're getting new underwear, those types of things, hygiene items. We've got a little library here. We've got quilt. We have quilters. Talk about different communities. We have a quilting community that makes quilts, and we give a new quilt to every child that's coming into foster care. We also have, they make pillowcases for us, and they make other things. We've got different organizations that bring bags here for us. One of the things that we started a long time ago was we started doing suitcases so they didn't have garbage bags. Nice. And so, I mean, and we had the community that would bring those items in so we can pack their things in a suitcase or in a duffel bag instead of using a garbage bag so that they have a different way to transport items. But it's just a way of making the child feel that they have the community support no matter what. And even though they're going through a very difficult situation, and that's one of the things, you know, people say, well, what are they going through? What happens? And I'm like, you know what? First of all, that's not my business. My business is to make sure that no matter what they're going through, they at least have the dignity of having the basic necessities that we basically need just for our daily lives. And so that's where it all started. So we have always are in need here of things for the kids, from clothing items to shoes to hygiene items. We do bedding for them. I mean, if you think what a child would want or need, if we don't have it, we probably can get it for them, and to make sure that they have what they need as they're going and transitioning into another environment.
You know, I think you really touch on some important things, is that how those little things that we don't even think about that can make a child's confidence either plummet or soar. And it's a huge difference as they're going through the changes in their lives, and there's so much going on, to be able to give them a little confidence, to be able to make them feel welcome, to be able to not have them feel different than. This is very important. Is there anything in particular right now that you're specifically in need of for anyone who's listening that wants to help out?
I can tell you that for some reason, well, I know why, they're rough on their clothes. Children between the ages of the size of 7 to 16, 18, in those elementary, young elementary, middle elementary age children, they wear their clothes out. And so, and those seem to be the age groups that we get the most. So first of all, the clothes, they, you know, they have holes in them sometimes, those types of things, but those are the age group that we see a lot of. And so we're always short on those items. And also teen boy items for this, like small, mediums and large, their adult size clothing because we go from premature infant sizes all up to size 5X. Because if you think, if you're going to high school, you see all, you know, they go all sizes. So we, our store here is, we serve, I mean, it's a department store basically for the children. Yeah. So, but the clothes that we really, I mean, we always are in need of are those 7 to 16, 18 clothes.
Okay.
And we can always use those.
Thank you. You know, we do a lot here in connecting people. In particular, I work a lot with the business community and businesses that really want to contribute, that want to contribute to the communities beyond, even beyond that bigger purpose, beyond their organizations. Let's say a company wants to do some type of partnership with Fostering Hope. Would they contact you? Would they go to the website? What would they do?
They can just contact me directly. That's fine. Okay. We've had some of the local businesses, like if they have different offices, do drives and competition with each other. We've had some businesses that will do, we had them for the last couple of years, do team building exercises. Wow. And they would do putting bicycles together and then donating the bicycles. So, I mean, all those types of things. We love working with our community and with the businesses. So they can just reach out to me anytime.
Excellent. And Tabby, could you please share the website?
It's fosteringhopeinc.com.
Thank you so much. And Gina, if people are itching to dance a little bit, how can they reach you? You have that Facebook page. Would they just search for Beaches, Boots, and Besties? What would they put in?
Yes, they could just search for that on Facebook and they would find our group page, or they could, contact me via email, which is Gina_Davis@jdsavage.com.
Perfect. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Gina. Tabby, before we close out today, do either of you have some parting words of wisdom, something that you'd like to share for our community today to lift them and send them on their way? Who's chomping at the bit?
I will say something. I think follow your passion and it will lead you to different directions. I find that dancing feeds your mind, body, and soul. Right? It helps you as you get older, remember things, you know, anti-Alzheimer, I kind of say. Your body is moving and socially, you're going to be uplifted with the family environment, right? So mind, body, and soul, and you meet great people like I've met the two of you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Gina. You know, Tabby, I'm going to give you another 10 seconds to think of yours because I want to, Gina mentioned something in particular about the power of dancing on our mind, body, and spirit, but in particular, the mind. For those of you who aren't aware of it, the book launch party for the Finding Humanity book is this coming Tuesday, the 14th at 5 p.m. And I don't know if I've mentioned it, but 100% of the proceeds from that book are going to Alzheimer's organizations. And since you brought up about that importance of the things that we can do to keep our minds healthy, I wanted to mention that as well, because this is something near and dear to my heart and something that is an ongoing journey for people. So thank you for bringing that up. All right, Tabby, you've had your 10 seconds. It's your turn.
Well, and I would say, and I'm going to build on what Gina said, is, you know, finding a community where you can find yourself in a sense, but also to give back, and whether they're giving back through going out and doing dancing or things, but also getting involved, volunteering with an organization is a great way to meet new people, especially if, like, I have a lot of volunteers that have moved to the area recently and they want to get involved somehow. Whether you want to come volunteer here or go volunteer somewhere else in the community, it's a wonderful way just to get yourself out of your comfort zone. And I think that's the one thing that is sometimes hard for all of us, is just taking that first initial step to walk through the door and say, I want to help, or I want to do something new. And, you know, you're not going to be good at everything. That's great. And that's one thing that we do here, is I let people find their niche. You know, some people say, well, what am I going to do there? And I'm like, well, once you're here for a couple of weeks, you may find out that you love, I really would love to find somebody who wants to play with toys all day, because I need somebody to do toys. But if they find their niche, but going out and just seeing what's out there in this community, because the community has so many different options for places that people can get together and to do wonderful things for each other.
Perfect. Thank you both so much for all that you do out in the community and in the world, and for that energy that you put out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you to Tabby Shelton of Fostering Hope and Gina Davis from our line dance community. Keep doing it. Have a good one. Until next time, Finding Humanity.
You've been listening to Heather Hanson O'Neill, host of The Humanity of Sales, brought to you by Tammy Hardy, certified financial planner and founder of Thrive Private Wealth Strategies. Be sure to tune in each week on Sunday at 10 a.m. for more strategies and stories of purpose and profit.